morning. Thank you so much, and thanks, Rob, for leading so sensitively and for everyone that's been involved. This is one of the trickier services because timing is absolutely crucial. But it's been great. Now, many of you who know me and know my stories will know that I worked in human resources for about 20 years. And one of the pieces of information that I had access to as part of my role was salary information. I headed up the payroll. I didn't do the payroll, but I headed up the team that conducted payroll. So I knew the salaries of those who did a really great job. And I also knew the salaries of those who didn't. And I knew the salaries of the clock watchers. You know, they came in on the dot of and they left on the dot of. And I also knew the salaries of those that were always early and those that always worked late. And I knew the salaries of those that absolutely worked to their job description and did nothing more. And I knew the salaries of those that were so flexible, it was amazing to work with them. And I also had to deal with the kind of complaints about inequality that happened when people would come in on a high salary because that was the market rate, and those that had worked for the company for a long time who had just had cost of living rises weren't earning the same. For the first 20 years of my working life, I saw all sorts of unfairness around the subjects of earnings. And sometimes I struggled with it because, you see, I also saw the salaries of those that earned less than me and the salaries of those who earned an awful lot more than me as well. And whilst pay might not be an issue so much for me today, do you know one thing that I struggle with generally is this whole attitude of entitlement? You know, that feeling that says the world owes me something, even if I don't have to earn it. And I wonder whether you ever feel the same. Maybe you've seen it in your children or your grandchildren over bedtime. I have to go to bed later than them because I'm older than them. Or maybe over pocket money or some other such thing. Jesus has a lot to say in our parable this... Jesus has a lot to say in our parable today about having an ungodly spirit of entitlement. And his story is set in a vineyard. Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 to 16. So if I can encourage you to turn to that either in a Bible that's in front of you or on your phones or tablets or whatever you might have brought with you. Because we're going to look at a bit of it, and then we're going to pause, and then we're going to continue looking at the story. If I'd been really efficient, I'd be able to tell you what page it's on. So if somebody's found Matthew 20 even, then shout out the page number. Sorry, 987. Excellent. So if you're flicking through one of the Bibles that are in the church, then it's on page 987. So, starting at the beginning of the chapter, this is what Matthew records. As Jesus was telling what the kingdom of heaven would be like, he said, "Early one morning, a man went out to hire some workers for his vineyard. After he'd agreed to pay them the usual amount for a day's work, he sent them off to his vineyard. About 9 that morning, the man saw some other people standing in the marketplace with nothing to do. He promised to pay them what was fair if they would work in his vineyard. So they went. At noon and again at about 3 in the afternoon, he returned to the market. Each time he made the same agreement with others who were loafing around with nothing to do. Finally, about 5 in the afternoon, the man went back and found some others standing there. He asked them, 'Why have you been standing around here all day long doing nothing?' 'Because no one's hired us,' they answered. Then he told them to go and work in the vineyard. That evening, the owner of the vineyard told the man in charge of the workers to call them in and give them their money. Now, I'm going to pause there for a moment because there's nothing controversial in that story as yet. There's nothing outrageous. But then we come to verse 9. And I want you to try and put yourself in the story. I want you to imagine that you were one of those workers that got up at the crack of dawn. Maybe you started work around 6 a.m. Verse 9. He also told the man to begin with the ones who were hired last. Now that was quite unusual. You'd been there all day and you would have expected to have got paid first. But okay, you're just going to have to wait a few more moments for your money. So this gives you a chance to be a little bit smug. Remember, you were there first thing in the morning. So in the way that good, godly people do, you're going to put your face into one of compassion. Oh, what a shame. You've only received so much because you arrived after lunch. So just put yourself in that face of compassion. But inside, you're going, ha, early bird and all that, you know? I want you to feel this story. So, verse 9. When the workers arrived, the ones who'd been hired at 5 in the afternoon were given a full day's pay. Oh yes, you heard that correctly. Those who'd been hired at 5 in the afternoon were given a full day's pay. Now you're in that story and you have been working since 6 a.m. What do you feel? What's going on? Can I hear you take in a sharp breath? 1, 2, 3. Some of you did it. Come on, get in the story. 1, 2, 3. What is going on? Get a bit hot under the collar. Dig deep into that attitude. You've worked all day in the sun, and these other people have just worked for an hour. What's going on in your mind? Do you feel cheated? Do you feel taken for a fool? It's not fair. How dare the 1 hour workers get the same pay as you because you were there at 6 a.m. So what are you going to do? Well, let's turn back to verse 10 and see what happened in this story. The workers who'd been hired first thought they'd be given more than the others. But when they were given the same, they began complaining to the owner of the vineyard. They said, "The ones who were hired last worked for only 1 hour, but you paid them the same as you did us. And we worked in the hot sun all day long." The owner answered one of them, "Friend, I didn't cheat you. I paid you." This idea of entitlement has a number of different definitions, and not all of them are bad. One definition is having a right to something. Not only do we have many rights, but you know, sometimes we have to fight for them. The Apostle Paul, for example, fought for his rights as a Roman citizen, and when he was arrested in Jerusalem, and it may well have actually saved his life. During my sabbatical, when I was working with those in addiction recovery, I helped somebody fight for their wages for work that had been done, but still several weeks later, they still hadn't been paid. The workers in Jesus' story had the right to be paid, and they had the right to be paid on time. But you know, they were paid. They were paid that day. Now, another definition of the word entitlement says that it's the amount to which a person has a right. And this could include if we're working our holiday entitlement. If we're not working and we're retired, maybe it's our senior citizens' entitlements. And if our frontline debt advisors see somebody who is on benefits, the first thing they will do is to check that they are getting everything they are entitled to. And in verse 13, we see that the owner honours the amount to which these workers have a right. Verse 13, it says, the owner answered one of them, "Friend, I didn't cheat you. I paid you exactly what we agreed on." So they got paid at the end of the day, and they got paid what had been agreed. But a third definition of entitlement is that attitude that's based on the belief that one is inherently deserving of privilege or special treatment. And this is what Jesus is challenging in this story. And it often comes about when we compare ourselves to someone else. I wonder whether you've ever heard yourself saying, "But I've been here longer than you." Or, "Well, I'm older than you." Or, "I'm senior to you." "I'm less able-bodied to you than you." We can sometimes even use our ill health as being entitlement. Maybe we've said, "I've been a Christian for more years than you," or, "I've been around here and I know the way we do things better than you. I'm better qualified than you." An unhealthy entitlement comes into play when, in effect, we are saying, "But this is me we're talking about. But this is me. I deserve special treatment or special privilege just because I am who I am." So I wonder what currency of entitlement you might tend to use from time to time. Not long ago, I had to cancel a hair appointment because my back was so painful I couldn't get up to the hairdressers, and there's no way I would have been able to have leant back and had my hair washed in the sink. And so I cancelled on the day. And do you know what? Despite the terms and conditions of my hairdresser, they had the cheek to take my deposit. Gosh, I was cross. Maybe I still am. You see, I've been going to that hairdresser for 7 years. They were the first place I went to when we moved here, and I have never been to another hairdresser since. One of my entitlement currencies is loyalty. If I'm loyal to you, I expect loyalty back. I wonder what some of your entitlement currencies might be. What are yours? What are the things that make you say, "But this is me we're talking about"? And if you say that you don't have any, you are a better person than I am. That is for sure. The owner challenges the workers who are struggling with their entitlement currency and their entitlement issues. So the owner says back in verse 14, so back into the story, "Take your money and go. What business is it of yours if I want to pay them what I paid you? Don't I have the right to do what I want to do with my own money? Why should you be jealous if I want to be generous?" Jesus then said, So it is, everyone who is now last will be first, and everyone who is first will be last. An entitlement attitude is unpleasant whenever and wherever it raises its head, and yet I think it's everywhere. In our community and in our neighbourhoods, and it can happen in our ministries here at church as well. As I started to write this talk, a little bit of irony, some of our Food Hub team came to talk about somebody getting hot under the collar about an entitlement issue. We were quite amused. I was quite amused about that. Sometimes we display an attitude of entitlement because of our status or our circumstances. We believe we've got the right to special privilege or treatment. But Jesus challenges this jealous comparison. You see, I think he wants us to see the owner in this story as being God. And he wants us to hear that when we say Jesus is Lord of our life, which we say as Christians, he wants us to hear that we're agreeing to God's terms. We're agreeing that God might treat us differently to somebody else. When we say Jesus is Lord, we might accept that God is going to make an opportunity open to this person, but not to us. Or maybe he's going to gift us differently to somebody else. These are the kind of things that we agree when we say Jesus is Lord. And yet, often we struggle. Life is unfair. It's unequal. And when we feel that way, it's tough and it's painful. It's definitely not easy. And the trouble with an entitlement attitude is that it starts to distort the way we think about other people and the way we feel about them as well. So I think we need to look at our Bibles and we need to understand exactly what God says we're entitled to. You see, in Romans 3, Paul says we've all sinned. All of us, without exception, deserve God's punishment. Sin's payment is death. So before God, actually, we're entitled to nothing good. The only person who is entitled to something better is Jesus. And in Philippians, we read what Jesus does with his entitlement. Jesus had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave, became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. You can read more about that in Paul's letter to the Philippians. So why did Jesus die on a cross? It's what we've remembered here at communion. So instead of me and you getting what we're entitled to, we're given the gift of a forgiven life. This is a gift. It's not a right. And so the antidote to this ugly attitude of entitlement is gratitude. Being thankful that we don't get what we deserve. we don't get what we deserve. And we're thankful because we're God's children. And because we're God's children, he showers us with his love. And he showers us with his blessings. And he showers us with goodness. And he does so generously. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. And so getting over our very human sense of entitlement is an opportunity for us to look beyond ourselves and to look to others. You see, as long as we focus on what we think we do or we don't deserve, we fail to notice the needs of those around us. And of course, if we start to think of those around us, we kind of automatically tend to think less of our own entitlements. Jesus was entitled to many things, but he chose to give up his entitlements and he chose to serve. And so today we're invited to be a church that does something similar. We lay down those things that we think we're entitled to, and we pick up those ways in which we can serve him. So we're going to spend a moment or two in prayer, in quietness, and this is an opportunity for us to think about those things where we get hot under the collar and are tempted to say, but it's not fair. This is me we're talking about. And if you never think that, you can sit quietly and just enjoy the peace. But if you're anything like me, you will know that your wallet's full of entitlement currency. So let's spend a moment or two before God, thinking through where we're most likely to feel entitled and surrender that to God. And I'm just going to lead us in prayer. Lord, I confess I too readily consider my entitlements, and I too quickly forget before you what I actually deserve. Lord, show me where entitlement rears an ugly head in my life, where I demand rather than give, where I expect rather than where I am grateful. Lord, forgive me when I think I deserve special treatment because of my status or my standing. Lord, forgive me when I think my disabilities, my vulnerabilities, or my character flaws allow me to behave sinfully towards those around me. Lord, would you show us what our entitlement currency is? Loyalty, hardworking, long-standing, qualification, abilities, gifts. God, you know what motivates and what drives each and every one of us. But would you reveal these to us so that we can surrender them to you? Lord, would you help us to understand far more deeply our relationship with you? Lord, would you help us to receive far more deeply your forgiveness, your love, your encouragement, and your grace? Lord, would you help us to receive this right here and right now? Because God, we want to leave this place being a people who are committed to serve you, committed to be thankful to you, committed to recognize and honor the needs of others, not worrying about ourselves. Thank you, Lord. Amen.